Anybody looking forward to Thanksgiving this week? Anybody? Come on, Lord. You know, this. I love Thanksgiving. I love everything about this time of year. This is kind of like hits the peak and the pinnacle of the year, really, for me, as far as the season. Beginning this week, you guys know the deal. Like, we'll begin to kind of fill our homes and our lives with family. We'll begin to kind of fill our plates probably with too much food, and probably the afternoons be filled with too much football. And so it's not hard. Like, you know, you got family, football, and food, and those are all really great things. And it's not hard to understand how we get up for this kind of this time of the year, this season that's upon us. But the reality is, man, some of you are here today and you're like, man, I don't share that sentiment. I don't share that excitement this morning. I can't meet you in your enthusiasm when it comes to Thanksgiving, because if we're honest, like, you know, you like the food and the football, but man, the family's a little crazy, right? It's like, you can keep that. Not super excited by some of the folks who will begin to roll into my home and probably stay a day too long, the whole thing. Maybe you're here today and seriously, like, there's some situations or circumstances that you're walking in here carrying with you some of the weight of, some things that are uncertain, undetermined right now. And the weight of that, you're staring down this week. And it is something about the holidays. There's something about Thanksgiving. There's something about just everything from now towards kind of the end of the year that has a way of reminding us what we've lost or what's missing. And that kind of weight to us can make it hard for us to be a thankful people, I think. And so what I want to do this morning is, before we get to that day, like, it's coming. Thanksgiving's on its way, and it'll be there for us on Thursday. But before we get to Thanksgiving, there's 3 days I want to bring before us. This morning's going to look a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different of a service, but I'm hoping that you guys will enjoy it. If you like to sing, we're going to sing. We're gonna stand, and we're gonna sit down. We're gonna respond. We're gonna read the word. And we're very, very thankful for this gathering, because I think I'm hoping it does for us is it begins to posture our hearts and our minds a people who are forgetful of all the things we truly have to be thankful for. My prayer is that before you leave here today, there will be something on your heart and mind that you can leave here saying, "I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for Jesus this morning." If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to ask you to grab that and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're just going to read. When you find your way there, if you're willing and able, I'd love for you to stand as we read God's Word together. We'll pick up in verse 15, okay? Just 15 through 17 for us this morning. It'll happen. It'll go quick. I promise. All right, here we go. All right, it says this. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." I want you to underline that word rule, or just hang on to it, okay? "To which indeed you were called in one body." And watch this. "And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness," there it is again, "in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. You can grab a seat. So I told you I want to look at 3 different days. Before we get to Thanksgiving, I want to look at that day, I want to talk about this day, and I want to talk about one day. All right, that day that we have to be thankful for, this day, all that Lord is doing, in one day where we believe everything is kind of culminating and heading, okay? And so let's talk about the call of our lives to be a thankful people for what God has done on that day. This text begins like this. Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," he says. Now, that word rule is so important. I told you we're going to come back to that. But before we do, I want you to understand the flow of this text. You know, you jump three chapters deep into an epistle, you lose a little something. Like, what's the argument? You know, we put the chapter breaks, we put the verse numbers and all that in there. But we got to remember, this is a cohesive thought. This is a continual idea that Paul is unpacking. And what he does here is he says some things before he gets to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. If you remember the very first chapter of Colossians, really Colossians itself, you should know this, is some of the highest Christology in all the Bible. Basically, this is the pinnacle in the New Testament, some of the high peaks, I would say, where we see the writer make a big deal about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And so if you remember, Paul tells us in chapter 1, who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. He says this, I was going to read a little bit of this to you. In chapter 1, verse 15, he says, he is the image of the invisible God. This is Christ. And it says, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities or presidents or mayors or governors or whatever elected leaders you want, like God put them there. He says that he is the one responsible. All things were created through him, it says, and exist for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The very reason your heart continues to beat today and God has not called you home to himself is because he's not done with you. You know that? Like, there's something going on inside of you, and it's not just anatomy. Like, the Lord Jesus holds your life in his hands. And the passage says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That word means first. It says Jesus is first. He's the one who's done all of this. And what's the greatest thing we have to be thankful for that Christ has done? Not just his creative work, but it's his redeeming work. And it says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace. There's that word, by the blood of the cross. And it is this peace that Christ has made by redeeming a broken people. You see, you and I, we came into this world with a problem. We're not morally neutral people. We're not pretty good people on our way to heaven. We are sinners separated from God. And apart from God doing a redeeming work, a reconciling work in our lives, that's how we would be left. There's this chasm between us and God, and in all of our morals and all of our working and all of our merit and all of our, you know, church attendance and Bible reading and serving and giving and all those things, nothing in us can ever make the, you know, span the gap between us and God. Why? Because what was lost was perfection. And just one moment of sin, one moment of anger on the interstate, on 65, on Wednesday morning, on your way to work, I've been there, is enough to separate us from the holiness and perfection of God, right? So we have a problem, but the beauty of the gospel is that while we were yet dead and sinning, right, Christ came, lived, died, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, that by everyone who places faith in him, we can be reconciled, bought back to God. And he says, because we are right now with God, because we have peace in heaven, we can have peace right here. So he says, let that peace rule in your hearts. Let it rule, he says. Peace in the face of uncertain circumstances, peace in uncomfortable holiday gatherings, right? Peace in the midst of difficult family functions, peace when you don't even feel it this morning. He says, you can have peace. You know why you can have peace? He says, let it rule, this peace. And he says, you can have this peace because of what that word rule means. In the original language, it's translated arbitrate, which basically means this, in extra biblical writing. Basically, writing that shows up in the ancient world outside of the Bible, every time this word peace is used, the original Greek word here, it's used in terms of someone who had to make a determination on an issue or a case. Think of like a judge, He had to rule. He gets the evidence and he makes a determination. He makes a judgment call. This passage says that the peace of Christ, because of the work of Christ, gets to make the final call in your life about whether or not you are grateful this morning. Isn't that awesome? He gets to make the determination on your life situation. So it's as if Paul is saying, let me put it like this. It's as if Paul is saying that the peace of Christ, because of the work of Christ, is the umpire or referee in your soul today. Meaning that when you don't feel like it, it's the work of Christ who gets to make that call. Christ is the one who has the call about whether or not you feel peace in all of the things you're going to step into this week. Christ is the one who throws the flag when the enemy says you have nothing to be thankful for because you're walking through this medical situation or this difficult relational situation or this strange relationship, and you're going to face that this week and you're going to be reminded of that this week. What do you got to be thankful for? Christ steps in and says, no, they have everything to be thankful for because of the work I've done. Christ is the one who throws the instant replay before your eyes and says, hey, you don't feel thankful right now, but let me show you a cross. Let me tell you why you can be thankful this morning. You see, we who have placed faith in Christ have a reason to be grateful for much this morning, church. And our circumstances don't get the final word. Our broken lives don't get to break that gratitude because Christ has secured it for you. You see, the peace of Christ rules. It rules. It's larger. It's boss. Rules over the hearts of those who he has redeemed. And if that's true of you today, then Paul says this. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And watch this. And he says this. And be thankful. Because that's true of you, there is something required of you. I love how Tim Keller puts it. He says, it's one thing to be grateful. It's a whole nother thing to give thanks. He says, gratitude is what you feel. I told you, you can't let your feelings lead you this in any moment in your life, especially not in the season of holidays, right? Gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do. It's what you do. And so here's the point. There's something required of the believers in the room for the gospel this morning, and it is to give thanks. And in the wisdom of God, Christ has established for the church a practice so that we would never forget to give thanks where it's due. Every time we think on the gospel, we're to do this. Every time we remember Christ in his work, in his redeeming and reconciling and peace-bringing work, we're to do just this, and it's communion. Did y'all know communion comes from a Greek word, eucharisto, which means to give thanks? So every time we come to the Lord's table and we take the little cracker and the juice and we remember his body broken, his blood poured out, what we are literally doing is giving thanks to God. We are saying, God, thank you that my life might be falling apart, but this is so true of me. I may forget this often, but it is eternally real and never leaving. It is secure. Thank you for the work that you did to reconcile me to God, to bring peace into my life, and that is something to be thankful for. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to practice this text to give thanks for who Christ is and what Christ has done. In the next few moments, if there are some deacons in the room, we're going to have our deacons grab the communion elements. And we're going to spend a moment here just before the Lord, remembering our sin. The scripture calls us to examine our hearts before we come to the Lord's table. And by the way, this is only for those in the room who have been reconciled to God because you've placed faith in Jesus. Some of you are here this morning, and the reality is you look at your life and you don't feel like you have a lot of peace, and maybe it's because you kind of just continue to pull that thread, trace it back to its source. It's because you've never placed faith in Christ. I mean, you've been trusting religion and tradition and activity, busyness, but you've never trusted what Jesus has done for you. Man, Thanksgiving will always fall flat for us because the conditions of our life will always change. But why don't we hold on to the thing that doesn't? Right? That Christ has worked this, that he has done this, that this is true now for you who are in Christ. Like, so if you're here today and you've never placed faith in him, the invitation today is not to the table, it's to Christ. It's say, hey, won't you come to Jesus today? Man, someone from our team would love to talk with you. You can come up here and spend some time kneeling before the Lord, praying, thanking him for what he's done, for showing you himself this morning. You're not here by chance, by the way. You're here because he's called you here. He woke you up. He put this desire in your heart. He led you to this moment in time, by the way, which I believe he put before time. This was the moment. And if you're in Christ today, then we come to the table where we give thanks, where we remember Christ's sacrifice. We remember what he's done. Remember his blood poured out, his body broken, so that by faith, what was true of Christ is now true of you. The righteousness of God is now yours. So now when I stand before the Lord, it's not Matt and his sin and his imperfection with the due penalty that will stand against that because of God's holiness. It's Matt covered in the sacrifice of Jesus, the righteousness of God. And I'm fully, forever, and freely welcomed in. And so won't you spend some time, won't you bow your head and close your eyes? I want to pray over you. And the band's going to sing a song over you in this moment. And let me just invite you during this time, you can kneel at your seat. You can come up front. You can spend some time there. You can just, you know, maybe you and your spouse want to pray together. And I want to encourage you to do a couple things. Not just, here's my sin, Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, acknowledge it before God. God, here's where I've been short this week. Here's where I've been selfish this week. God, here's where I've been angry this week. Here's where I've been greedy this week. Here's where I haven't thought about you and given you thanks. Here's where I've been forgiven. But don't let it end there. Bend it towards thankfulness to God. Thank him for his blood. Thank him for his body. And I'll come up in a moment and lead us through those elements. If you have kids in the room who are not believing, if you yourself are not, we'd love to talk to you and talk with you about your kids, but this is for those who know the Lord. Father, we love you, God. We thank you for what you did on that day. God, we thank you on that day of crucifixion that you laid down your life. It wasn't taken from you. You laid it down. Father, you laid it down to pay the penalty that stood against those you came to redeem, God. You poured out your life on that cross so that by faith we could receive it and find it fully in Jesus. God, I pray that we never forget that. And Lord, no matter what our life is void of right now, that is so true of us, God. That is completely real. And so we are forever to be grateful for the cross, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen. Are you thankful for his blood this morning? On that day that Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples in an upper room. He gathered with them, and he, at that table, Luke 22 tells us that, and when he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Church, his body was broken so that by faith in his work, you could be made right and whole in Christ forever. Take and remember his sacrifice. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, lifted it in their midst, and he said, this cup is poured out for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And his blood was poured out on the cross so that by faith in him and his sacrifice, you could be made right with God. Take and remember. Christ, we magnify you today. We bless you. We thank you for what you did on that day. God, we thank you for your work of redemption. And Lord, I pray that we don't blow by that on our way to other things. But Lord, we remember that, we hold on to that. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So Paul reminds us that there's much to be thankful for from that day. But that's not the only thing, right? Before we get to Thanksgiving, I told you there's 3 days I want to talk to you about. And this morning, I want to talk to you about a second day, and that is this day. There is so much, church, for us to be thankful for that God is doing in our lives and in this church this day. The text says this in verse 16. If you just continue in the flow of the passage, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So not only let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, but he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. There's that word again, thankfulness in our hearts to God. What he just laid out for us, by the way, it's kind of what we're doing right here, right? That when we come together, he's given this picture of the body of Christ, the family of God, the household of faith. When we come together, this is what we are doing. We are literally letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We are singing songs about the word. We are preaching the word, sitting under the preached word. And we've got groups meeting, praying the word and talking about the word. And we're in the hallways admonishing one another and encouraging one another and sharpening one another. And this is a picture of the activity of the church. And what Paul is saying is when you come together under the word of Christ with the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts, do it with thankfulness. Do it with a seasoning of thankfulness in your soul. You know, and I think what can happen often is because we move at a certain pace in the church. The church can be a very busy thing. We can be like, you know, we come in, we sit down, we sing, we listen, we go to the bathroom, get our kids, hit the parking lot, we're out. And it can be hard for us, if we're honest, to really know what's happening in the church, especially in a two-service church where God's bringing people, we got more people than space. It's like, man, like it can be hard to know what all of these amazing things that are happening in the life of our church. And so I want to jog your memory just for a moment, okay? Not just of what God's doing here at Life Point Redemption City, but what God is doing around Life Point Church, okay? And then I'm going to bring it back home, and a really special thing I want to share here at the end of our gathering. First thing I want you to see is that at Life Point, we have been blessed. We have a reason to be thankful this morning because of the generosity of God's people. In 2024, just give you a quick snapshot. Some of you were like, "Hey, do you have any notes from the business meeting this past couple weeks? What's going on here? What's going on there? Like whatever." So I want to give you a little bit. 2024, we ended our budget year at 110%. Okay, which is super, super healthy, incredible. Going into 2025, we had a big thing in front of us. Not only were we merging as a church, but we were also going to build a new campus. And with that, we had the funds to build it, the debt retirement on that new building, and we didn't want to hang around and play with debt. We want to retire it quickly. And so we had a $1.1 million increase in our budget for 2025. And so if I'm honest with you, like behind the curtain a little bit, the elders were all like, man, like, Lord, you're going to have to show up. We're trusting you. This is a step of faith, but we're believing you for it. And in 2025, we're projecting right now to come in at 110% of our budget. Man, that is a testimony to the faithfulness. Yeah, praise God. That's a testimony to the faithfulness of God's people. That's a testimony to you. You're a very generous congregation, and we want to continue to ask you, continue to lean into what the Lord is doing in that area of your life. So many people, it's the last thing to go. But man, won't you lead out in that area and say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. And in a spirit of thanksgiving, we're going to be generous and give. And those are just numbers. And you're looking at those, you're like, what does that actually mean? That's just cash, right? Great. Those are just EFTs. Those are just checks written. Those are just deposits made. It's not just that. Because you give, man, we've been able to minister to thousands of people here in Middle Tennessee. Because you give, there's been marriages redeemed this year. There's been people counseled who couldn't afford to get the counseling for themselves, but were family counseling. Family and children counseling. There's been marriages counseled. There's been food given through our food bank to hundreds upon hundreds of people who depend upon it. There's backpacks, hundreds of backpacks that are filled for the weekend worth of food for these kids that will go home and have insecurity about where they're going to get their meals until they get back to school on Monday. And we've been able to provide hundreds of those. through our farm ministry. 41,000 pounds of food were raised in this last year. 8,000 meals were given to families of four. Given to families of four. Man, we've been able to preach the gospel in multiple different continents. We've shared the gospel in Thai, and we've shared the gospel in Bangkok, in Dubai, in Turkey, in Nepal, in Brussels, in Brazil. We've been able to take the gospel to thousands of kids through VBS and through just regular programming that happens at this campus and around our campuses. Guys, I hope you see all this, that, man, there is so much God is doing in our church. God is saving the next generation. He's shaping the next generation. Students are being discipled and formed into tomorrow's leaders, tomorrow's missionaries, tomorrow's pastors. Man, God's doing it. He's doing it around this organization and around this church. And closer to home, I want you to know that, man, God is doing an amazing work here. Just in a few months, you guys know this, we'll be moving into a brand new facility where we got a picture of it, I think. Some of you are like, I haven't even seen it. Here we go. Boom. There it is. Yeah, isn't it awesome? And we're praying. And guys, when you see this building, I don't want you to see a structure. I want you to see possibility. I want you to see the homes in the background that are lit up. And I want you to think about the families who are going to be in this building, the marriages that are going to walk in these doors hurting, they're going to leave restored. We're going to think about the kids that are going to be raised in Jesus, who are going to trust in Christ, they're going to give their lives to Him, and they're going to go back to school and share it with their friends, and their friends are going to come, and parents are going to get saved. Like, what God's going to do in this place is phenomenal, and it's happening because of God's goodness to our church, His favor on our church. We have so much to be thankful for. And it doesn't end here. If that was it, it would be great. But do you know that in this next year, on December 15th, actually, just in a month, December 15th, we're scheduled to close on a large piece of property that's at our Stewart Creek campus that came with a church merger 20 years ago. Crazy thing. And it's just been sitting there, and I've been trying to kill deer on it unsuccessfully. And on December 15th, we're going to close on that property. It's going to generate $5 million in revenue that, as God would know, in His timing, that $5 million alongside of $3 million in cash assets because of the year after year generosity of God's people, we're going to be able to pay for a building for our Riverdale campus debt-free. And this is what it's going to look like. That Riverdale campus right now, yeah, praise God. Our Riverdale campus right now sees between 500 and 600 people every single week. Kyle's preaching his guts out up there in a small auditorium, smaller than the one you're sitting in. He's doing four services a week. And this is going to create space for growth, for new people to meet Jesus, find life and live sent. And we can't wait to see what the Lord will do with it. And if that was it, there'd be reason even for 10,000 years to praise God and to be thankful. But in the coming year, in May of next year, our Brussels, Belgium campus pastor is going to be coming home back to the Riverdale campus, where he will serve alongside of Kyle and begin to prepare to send out a group of people to start our next campus in 2028. And so, man, God is doing some awesome things, guys. Some awesome things. And you look at it, and it's like it's out there. It's like, man, yeah, there's generosity and there's growth around our organization, and it's all awesome. But I don't just want to thank God because what He's doing in the bank or with buildings. I want to thank God for what He's doing in the lives of people right here. This past week, our team, we began to kind of look back and think about what God has done this day, what He's doing in our church. And we uncovered something that we really didn't even know was happening, because you just have to pace of ministry, you don't see it. But in this past year, since January 2025, we've baptized over 40 people in this church. Is that amazing? Man, you saw last week, we baptized. We're baptizing two today, you're going to hear about in a moment. And next week, we're even baptized. Like, God is doing an incredible thing, and perspective matters. So let me give you just a touch of perspective real quick. In 2024, 43% of SBC churches reported zero baptisms. Zero. Almost 50% of churches in the Southern Baptist Convention reported zero baptisms last year. In the top 5% of churches in the SBC reported 20 or more baptisms, right? And God is over 40 right here, guys. Man, it's something to be thankful for. Let's thank the Lord for that, man. That is an incredible, incredible thing, man. Praise God. Listen, don't presume on that. There's churches that would give everything to see one person baptized. There's churches all around us that are closing their doors, and God is bringing not just kids who are being baptized, but adults that are placing faith in Jesus and starting to lead their family. And it's incredible. It's an incredible thing what God is doing here. We have much to be thankful for.
Have you ever thought about that one day?
The day when heaven and earth will be made new.
The one day when our longing for home will finally be met as God makes his dwelling place with his people.
Just as he came once as a baby in Bethlehem to dwell among us, he will come again to dwell with us forever.
One day, the waiting will end.
One day we'll stand before him, a bride prepared for her groom, radiant and whole.
He will dwell with us and we will dwell with him one day.
One day he will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death will be no more. No more mourning or crying or pain, for the former things will have passed away.
One day the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will finish what he started.
He will make right what's wrong. He will make whole what's broken.
And one day, a great multitude from every nation, from every tribe, and from every language will stand before the throne, crying out with a loud voice,
"Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne."
There will be no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No need for sun or moon, for the glory of God will be its light and the Lamb its lamp.
But until that one day, we live in this world, a world still longing for redemption. While we still have breath in our lungs, we fight the enemy's lie that life is ours to live however we please.
No, we live as God's people, citizens of heaven, ambassadors of hope. You see, one day is not just a dream. It's a promise, a guarantee that shapes how we live today.
God didn't call us to comfort.
He called us to a cause.
To die to ourselves, to live sin, on one mission,
to make Jesus known in every nation, to every tribe, and in every language.
And he's doing it through us.
Through us.
And he's doing it through us.
One day at a time.
Together, we've planted churches, witnessed salvation, and celebrated baptisms.
We've fasted, we've prayed, we've given and gone across the street and across the world.
We've shared the gospel in English and Spanish and Arabic and French and Thai and Dutch and Portuguese.
The hurting have found hope.
The weary have found rest.
The lost have been found.
From our community to campuses around the world, God is building his church one day at a time, and all in preparation for that glorious one day.
This Christmas, as we celebrate the first coming of Christ, we look forward to his return. We give not out of obligation, but out of expectation that one day every heart will know his name.
Every dollar given to this Christmas offering fuels the mission, bringing light where there's darkness and hope where there's despair and life where there is death.
We give because he gave first.
We go because he came first.
And we love because he loved first.
So until that one day when we join him, we'll keep living sent.
We'll keep giving generously.
We'll keep shining his light with the world because Christmas reminds us that light has already come.
And one day that light will never fade.
Until that day,
we find life and live sent.
One day.
You just watched a video. It's a little awkward to be in the video and follow it up, by the way. I know that guy. But you just watched a video of something that we do every year called One Day Offering. And it's a Christmas offering that's given specifically to missions. And it fuels our ministry in Brussels, Belgium, and in Bangkok, Thailand. And without it, those things don't happen. And so every year, the faithfulness of God's people right here at Christmas to take one day of their salary and give it to the mission of God fuels that, both of those campuses of the ministry that happens there. And so we want to invite you to be a part of that. Out of everything we have to be thankful for, man, that we give generously, we give faithfully back to the Lord. But that vision of one day is what I want to close this with. You see, not only, I told you, Thanksgiving Day is coming, not only do we have reason to be thankful for what he's done on that day of crucifixion, that day where our reconciliation was purchased, where our right standing was earned by Jesus on the cross, where now we have this peace of God that rules in us. Not only do we have to be thankful for that day, but also what God's done on this day. I mean, you guys have seen it. God has done some incredible things, is doing incredible things, and we have much to give praise for. Amen? And all of that, guys, all of that, is all that work, all of that prayer, all of the energy, all of the things that God is doing is moving towards a redemptive end, a day when every wrong will be made right, every tear will be wiped away, where we will be with Christ on one day, that future day in eternity. And it's because of all that Christ has done, man, the text that we just read, it ends really powerfully. And it says here in Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And watch this, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's because of everything that Christ has done. This is the argument of Paul here. Everything that Christ has done, everything that Christ is doing, both in your life and in the church, leverage your life every moment, every day for one day. For that day coming that we are hoping in and trusting in and looking forward to. And I want to end with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I love how he said it. I think it really sums up how we should approach and posture ourselves as we head towards Thanksgiving. He says this. For one, it's Spurgeon, so it's noteworthy. But anyway, he said this. He said, brethren, we ought to always be thanks-living. He said, I think it's a better thing than Thanksgiving. How is this to be done? By a general cheerfulness of manner, by an obedience to the command of him whose mercy we live, by a perpetual, constant delighting ourselves in the Lord and submission of our desires to his mind. Let us, he says, give Jesus thankfulness and thanks living. That's what this is all about, man. As we leave here today, that we would see a great need that we have, a great reason we have to be thankful to God with gratitude in our heart. We just let it end in a feeling, but we turn it towards an action, that we would leverage our days for that one day with thankfulness in our heart today. So as we close out, I want to pray for us, and I want to encourage you guys, man. If you're here today and you walked in and you're like, I don't know if I'm super jazzed about this week. I don't know if I'm really excited about what's going to happen on Thursday. I hope you left here today knowing a better reason to be thankful, right? Man, that Christ has done a work, that he is on his throne, that he's moving in your life. Your heart is still beating. That means he's not done. He's working. He's doing more than you can see and you can think, ask, or imagine. Like, God is worth being grateful for. And let's let that posture us towards this Thanksgiving. Amen. All right, we pray for us. Father, I love you. God, I'm so thankful for your church. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you that when we were sinners, separated from you, that was true of us, God. That's not something we just read about in a fiction story. We were separated from you, God. We had a problem. And it was by your love and mercy that you didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up, Lord. You saw the worst of us, and yet you desired us. And you moved towards us with affection. You laid your life down on a cross, accomplishing what we could not, paying for what we couldn't afford. You opened our eyes to see Jesus. You gave us the free gift of faith. And by placing it in your Son, with thankfulness in our hearts, you welcome us freely, fully, forever. Oh God, we have reason to sing this morning. We have reason to leave here and tell somebody about the goodness of God. We have reason this morning, even when we don't feel it, to wake up with a smile on our face and delight in our hearts, God. Because you're good. And you've done good things for us, God. And so, Lord, we magnify you today. I pray that your people would leave here this week. And before we get to our list of pleases, God, we would start with our list of thankfulness. We'd say, Lord, you're so good. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my food before us, God. Thank you, Father, for just the air in my lungs and the opportunity in front of me, God. Thank you for my school that I'm a part of, my work that I get to step into with mission in my mind. And I have a field in front of me ready for a harvest. And I have a gospel message that the scripture says is power. And we serve a Lord who is worthy. So God, we adore you, we magnify you, we are thankful for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Would you stand, would you sing with us?